Exodus chapter 20. And that brings us to a wonderful passage that many of us know as the Ten Commandments. Well, I would imagine in this room everybody knows as the Ten Commandments. So tonight I want to talk about the overall subject, treasuring family values. So it's Father's Day today. Hopefully all you fathers out there had a great day in one way or the other. I remember we were on our way home and the kids were like, "Dad, are we going out to eat today?" I was like, "Nope." And they were like, are we doing anything for Father's Day?" I said, "Nope." "What did you want to do on Father's Day?" I said, "I want to go home. I would like you guys to eat lunch and then I would like to relax and then take a nap. If you just allow me to do that right there, that would be the greatest Father's Day gift you have given me in a long, long time. That's all I want." And I got to do all of those things. So present received. But I started thinking about it as I was, at home, and I was wondering, today in our society, how far does Father's Day go today? How does that, for example, practically play itself out for most people? Is it for them a cookout? Is it a phone call? Is it a card? Is it a post on Facebook? What is it, right? And does it? And I guess none of those things are in and of themselves bad, but I guess my thought is, Father's Day, does it manifest itself to only that and then it stops there? Somebody has said that a cynic is someone who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. And we live in a cynical age today, and there are those, many of them, who do not know family values, the value of the family. And certainly, they don't treasure family values and importance. They are not put to the forefront of what we need in our society today. And I think that you'd have to agree with me that there has been an all-out assault on the home. And you can find that in multiple avenues. This is a multiple front attack. Whether it is the homosexual agenda and how that is pushed on our children, whether it is the ease of divorce and the acceptance of a broken home as something that is normal, whether it is the reversal of roles of mom and dads in our society today, whether it is the flipped completely upside down where children are running homes nowadays, there is an all-out assault, and it is wildly accepted and pushed by our society today. And remember, God, the reason that this is so important is that God founded the home before anything else. God founded the home before He founded government, before the school, before the church. It is the basic unit of our society. And as the home goes, so does our society go. And we have homes today in America that are unraveling. They are unraveling. To be honest, many today don't understand what God taught as one of the basic family values, and I want to read it to you here. Right here out of the Word of God, Exodus chapter 20, and we'll begin right in verse 1. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make of thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And then we come to verse 12. All right? "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now notice the first four commandments that God dealt with here in this passage. No other God, no graven images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. These are what we would call vertical relationships between man and God and man, right? And then after the first four, he gives us six that we can consider horizontal relationships, our relationships with one another. And the first one, the very first one, is honor father and mother. Now, think with me for a sec here. God only gave 10 commandments. So you know that these 10 are exceedingly important. And of those 10, one of them says that we're to honor our father and our mother. And that's why we're talking today on this subject, learning to honor our parents. Honor thy father and mother. That is the basic family value that needs to be treasured. This is the first of the last six. And why does God put it first? Because it's primary. He puts it first because it is vital. The child that does not learn to honor his father and his mother is going to have some very, very basic and fundamental character flaws that are going to impede him from fulfilling the rest of these commandments that the Lord has given. And so honor thy father and mother comes before killing. Right? Crazy, right? It comes before stealing. It comes before bearing false witness. This is the first. This is the primary. Our parents are the first people we meet. The first people that we know. If we can't learn to respect and to love our parents, how can we hope to get along in our society? This is fundamental. And so I want us to look at this command because it is a command. It's not a suggestion. A command. Honor your father and your mother. And I want to give you three ways that you can do that. Now, as I was writing this, it was not lost on me that there's no junior church on Sunday evening. But then I also started thinking to myself, it doesn't matter if you are 8 years old or you're 80. You still have parents, or had. Now, your parents may be gone, but you're still a son of someone, right? And whether or not your parents are still here for you to literally honor them today, there is still an example that you can be shown. There is still an example that you can show to others. Because all of us are children. All of us at one point had a father and a mother. Some of us have parents who are in heaven, but we all have fathers and mothers. And here's a command, therefore, that is universal to everyone that is in this room. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So here are three ways that you can do that. First one, first of all, you are to obey them when you are young. Obey them when you are young. Obey them. Now I'm going to give you some scriptures and I want you just to jot them down because I know most people in here take notes. Jot these down. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That means that not obeying your parents will be displeasing to the Lord. Now, why should you obey your parents? Well, first of all, it is, as you see here, the root of all blessing, to obey your parents. You know, it's funny that children seem to have the same abilities, the same mind, the same opportunities. But one child chooses sometimes to obey their parents, and the other child may choose not to, and that makes a difference in their character. If I see a child that is going by the wayside, right, and I'm not even talking about as a youth pastor, I'm just talking about as someone who's walking around on the street, someone who is in charge of people in the secular workforce, I have to look no further than their relationship with their parents. Have you ever seen one of those kids who are really, really bad? Do you ever see them have a really good and healthy relationship with their parents? One of the two may think that they do. Usually it's the parents, right? Sometimes some of the parents may have their head in the sand like an ostrich. They may think that everything is great, which sometimes makes it worse, right? Because then what do they become? An enabler many times. But it makes a difference in their destiny. Obedience to parents is essentially a continental divide in a child's character. Dwight L. Moody said this, I've lived over 60 years and I've learned one thing. If I've learned nothing else, no man or woman who dishonors father and mother ever prospers. Now, Dwight L. Moody's a lot smarter than me, right? And God ranks disobedience with the very worst and the most vile sins. Romans chapter 1, I want to show you how God, you don't have to turn there, I want to show you how God feels about the sin of disobedience to parents. I'm going to begin reading Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. God speaks of a generation on its last legs, is what he's talking about here. Giving you the panoramic view as we start. And I want you to hear how this catalog of sins that he's going to list, I want you to see as I read this catalog of sins here, vile and vicious as they are, God puts disobedience of parents first. Right? So listen to it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now you may think that disobeying mom and dad is a very small thing. But take that list of sins and see how God ranks the sins of disobedience with the very worst of them. He puts them right in there. As a matter of fact, God teaches that a generation that will disobey its parents is a generation that is on its last legs. It's a sign of the last days of the end times. Why do you think that there's so many people who will stand behind a pulpit today and tell you that they think we're living in the last days? It's not because we have some sort of pastor calendar, right? We're not getting updates from God via Yahoo email, right? He's not updating us via Twitter or Snapchat. We're looking at the Bible here. And we're seeing the things that the Bible says are coming. And it's happening today. Now, you may think that disobeying mom and dad is a small thing, but it is not. You might also find 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, and listen to how God describes the last days, how God describes perilous times, the days that, again, I believe that we're living in today. This, though, also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, here comes God's description of perilous times, okay? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of treasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. What does God say here? God says, teenager, if you're disobedient to your parents, your religion is a form, it's a fake, it's a fraud. You only have a form of godliness. That's it. I don't care what you do at youth activities. I don't care how many VBSs you work. I don't care how many step trips you go on. I don't care how many of us adults you have. You have fooled. You're a hypocrite. Disobedience to parents brings the sure judgment of God, and obedience brings the blessings of God. It's that simple. It's very simple. It's a simple concept. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. When God gave the other commandments, he gave a warning. But God, with this commandment, God gives a promise. And what is that promise? That you will live long in the land. All right, listen to this. Long in the land, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, why is that? Why is he saying that? Because when you honor your parents, that's the seedbed, that is the root of further good character. And to live with character is to live with health. It's to be given a long life and is also receive the blessings and the protection of an almighty God, the God that we say that we serve. Because God does not bless, nor does God bound to protect rebels who rebel against them. Moms and dads, perhaps you ought to put a sign in your kid's room that says something like this, warning, Disobedience may be harmful to your health. I'm not just talking about the whooping, right? That's another whole thing, right? You see, God judges this sin. You say, well, what if my mom and dad command me to do something that is contrary to the Word of God? I can tell you, I cannot consciously right now count how many times I've had a teenager, and they always know many, many things, right? How many times a teenager has asked me this question? Well, what happens if my mom asks me to kill somebody? What happens if my mom tells me I can't go to church anymore? Then of course, right, that the simple answer to that question is, then you ought to obey God rather than men. But this is so very rare, it's hardly even worth mentioning. And at this point, I think many of them have, I haven't been asked that question in a couple of years. I was asked that question a lot when I first came to the youth group. I think they were just testing me. But, you know, I can't imagine Carrie Winook telling one of her sons to skip church and go murder somebody. So I think the Winook house is safe, right? I can't imagine the Arps telling Natalie to go and rob Walmart tomorrow. I think we're okay, right? I think we're fine. Most parents are parents who tell us what is right and what is wrong. Of course, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's the first thing you can do today, to honor your father and mother. Obey them when you are young. Aha, you say. But I'm not always young. Neither will they always be young. So I'm definitely not always going to be young. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. There comes a time when you're out from underneath the commands and you begin to build your own home and, Lord willing, you start giving instructions to your own children. That's the natural circle of life here, right? And so the second way you can honor your father and mother is to not only obey them when you're young, but to care for them when they are old. First, you obey them when you're young, and next, you care for them when they are old. Now, again, I'm preaching to the choir in this one because I know there are many individuals in this church who do that or have done that. But I think in the larger scope of society today, we have a serious problem in America today, and to be honest, in the world today, and that is we have forsaken and cast away our older generations. We've become hard-hearted to the elderly, and many times we're expecting one of the many different institutions, whether it be the government, that's what many rely on. Some rely on the church to take care of our parents when it is our solemn and our holy obligation before God to do that ourselves. You say, but that will inhibit me in some way. I have a very busy social life, and I'm very popular, and I can't be that if parents come and live with me. I can't do what I want to do. And look, let's be blunt. You inhibited them when you were little, right? Having a kid is not the coolest thing to have with you. You can't just go anywhere whenever you want to go. You can't go hang out with your friends. You can't do... As a matter of fact, when you start having kids first, anybody who was that person, like myself, when you start having kids before any of your friends, they're all still doing that stuff, and you're like... I guess not. I got to find someone to watch the kid, but I can't, so I'm staying home. Like, you inhibited them when you were young, and children are a blessing, and once you start having them, you're like, yeah, whatever, you guys can keep all that stuff. I need to go to sleep at 7 o'clock, right? Right? But you're like, okay, so this is pretty cool, and you see, and you reap the reward from having children, but you did inhibit them in some way when you were little. If you have to carry them around, look, they had to carry you around too, right? And if they're anything like my kids, they're a load, right? I saw Adam and Rachel's baby back there. She was little. I was like, man, I don't think any of my kids were ever that little. But it's relative to the parents, I guess. But if you have to bathe your parents, look, they had to bathe you too, right? And it wasn't like that was always a treat, depending on what the cause for the bath was, right? Yeah, I think I can leave it there. You know what I'm talking about. If you have to feed them, they've had to feed you before, which also wasn't always the greatest thing of all time. If you must sacrifice for them, they have sacrificed more than you will ever know for you. The Bible says a wonderful thing in Matthew chapter 15. It teaches us that the duty to our parents comes before the duty to our church. Now that's crazy to even say, but just I'm not making this stuff up. I want you to listen to this. Jesus was speaking to the religionists of the day and found out that they were being hypocritical because they were neglecting their parents. And here's what Jesus said to them. He said in Matthew 15, verse 3, "And he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father and mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me." Alright, so what does that mean, right? What is the Rosetta Stone to understand what exactly that's saying here? Here's a man who essentially, if you're looking at the context here, he would have had a father and mother who are in need, okay? So think of the need, whether it is financial, it could be physical as well, but most times when you're talking about taking someone on, that always ends up being something financial, right? Even if it's a physical infirmity they need help with, having someone else in your like house sphere, right? That's more electric, that's more water, that's more food, that's more whatever. So it's always also a financial burden. So if you look at it from that point, here's a son who says, "Well, look, Dad, I can't help you. I was going to spend on you this money, but I gave it to the church instead." Right? I gave it to the love offering or to the building or to the missionary trip, and I gave it to this thing or that thing. Sorry, I can't help you. I'm giving this money over to whatever. It's a gift. I gave it to God, so I can't help you. Jesus went on to say, "But ye say, Whosoever should say to his father and mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free." That is, he doesn't have any responsibility now to his mom and dad because he's dedicated everything to the church or to God or to the temple. "Thus have ye made the commandment of God non-effect by your tradition." That is, they've taken tradition and used tradition to nullify and negate the commandment that God has given them. Then here's what our Lord says, "Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." If you're here today, and you're singing these songs, and you're making your gifts, and you're not taking care of your mom and dad that need you, Jesus Christ says that your worship is in vain. You have negated the basic commandment of God, which says that you are to honor your father and to your mother. And Jesus said that one of the ways that you can do that is to take care of them when they are old. Look, Father Time's undefeated, man. I mean, there is no getting around the fact that we're getting old. Like, everybody in here is getting older. If you fail to do it, the Bible teaches that you are worse than an infidel. Not as good as an infidel, worse than an infidel. So, that is, here's a woman, she's a widow, she doesn't have any way to take care of herself, she has children who should take care of her. Our Lord says, let those children learn how to show piety at home. That is godliness to requite their parents. That means to take care of their parents. For this is good. And this is acceptable to God. And then listen to how Paul sums it out in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, "And if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Plain English, man. You've got no right to call yourself a child of God if you won't take care of your elderly parents. That's what God's word says. There's nobody else who should do it for you if you can do it. If you can do it, there's nobody who should do it for you. Now, you may not be able to. You may be as destitute as they are, right? And maybe that's the case, right? You say, look, Pastor Allen, then are you telling me to take what I give to Heritage Baptist Church and give it to my parents? I am not saying that. I'm saying you're to give them what is due to them, and you're to give God what is due to God. And don't use one as an excuse not to do the other one. There is a wonderful balance that God always gives us. And the way we get out of balance, in any way, from what God has told us is balanced, is always our fault. There have been many times in my life that there has become unbalance in my life. And in one way, shape, or form, I'm telling you, as I'm like, I don't understand what's going on here. And then you look back, you're like, oh, I'm an idiot, right? It's my fault, right? It always comes back to me. Now, I have a wife in my house as well. So, I mean, it could be one of us or both of us. But look, I am the man. So the buck stops with me, right? So if there's something going on in my house that causes us to be unbalanced, men, fathers, today, I essentially am responsible for that. I can't say, where's the other? Where's the first time you heard that? Well, this woman that you gave me, right? We're still saying it today, right? Well, this woman, God, that you gave me back when I was 18, she racked up the credit card. Well, why aren't you paying attention to your bills? Why are you giving her so much time that she's just going out and just spending all your money out there, right? Like, why aren't you putting some hedges there in your family's life? Like, look, it may not have been you who swiped the card, but you are in charge, right? If anyone has ever worked in the business world, you know this is true. At my job in the secular realm, we have a lot of emphasis on safety, for example. And for me, as an individual who runs a shift, I have like 250 people who report to supervisors who then report to me, right? And as I'm going around, I have no control on a minute-by-minute basis as to what adults make for a decision. If somebody decides to lift something with their back that weighs 100 pounds and they throw their back out, I had no control over that decision. But who gets talked to first? Me. Anytime there's an injury, who has to send out the email to everybody? Who's got to write up the report? Who's got to have their feet to the fire to their boss and tell them why someone on your shift thought it was okay to lift a 100-pound box not correctly, right? Now, that's just in the business realm. What kind of account am I going to have to give God? Why did your wife think that that was okay? I wonder if that's what God at some point afterward had said to Adam, like, look, Adam, come over here for a second. Like I know that, you know, Eve got talked to by the snake and, you know, everything was a little kooky there for a second. But look, I'm just telling you, like, why did she even think that was okay? Why did she think that she should listen to the snake more than you or me? Why didn't you help her to understand that? I wonder if he said that to him. I'm sure at some point over the millennia here, he has said that to Adam at one point or another. Adam needed to take that responsibility. And you're to obey them when you're young. You're to care for them when they're old. And when the Bible says, if anyone provideth not for his own, especially those of his own house, he's not talking about parent providing for children. He's talking about children providing for parents. Now, here's the third thing that you might do on Father's Day to honor your father and, by extension, then your mother. Remember, first of all, we said obey them when they're young, care for them when they're old. Thirdly, honor them at all times. All right, honor them at all times. And I'm going to give you five quick ways as we end here that you can do that, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're, you know, old or whether you're in your prime, you or your parents, right? Here are five ways that every child can honor his or her parents. The word honor means to take them seriously, right? To speak of them with respect. I don't know if any parents in here have ever wondered that. What do your kids say about you when you're not around, right? What I have wondered that before many times. What do my kids say? Like, when I talk to people, I talk about it like it's a great thing that I am in the ministry. Do my kids find it that great? I sometimes wonder that, because I know myself. I know how I can get caught up in work, right? And, you know, I have a secular job. I work hours there, and then I do all the stuff with the youth group. And when you start doing a lot of those things, there inevitably is only room for a certain amount of things. And there can be times when, for example, my children can get pushed off to the side, right? They end up catching the brunt of, there's not as much time for you, I am busy, right? Now, I try and involve them as much as possible, but does that equal the scales back out? You wonder. You wonder when your kids are at school and people are talking about dads or whatever, what do they think about you? I mean, obviously when they're at Sunday school, they'll probably say some good things, because they've probably been taught that you say certain things when you're at church and you say certain things when you're not, whatever. But what do they really feel in here about the choices that you make for them and for their life? When you really start thinking about that, you could probably drive yourself crazy thinking about those questions and answers. My thing that I do, and that I would suggest that if you don't do it, you do, is really ask them, right? Many times for me, because I have such a herd, I just have to start getting them one-on-one, and I ask them one-on-one, right? Sometimes I get answers that I don't like, per se. And then you have to correct, right? And it means that you don't take your parents lightly, not to deal with them frivolously. So, here are five ways you can honor your father and mother. Number one, show them respect. You do it by showing respect. Leviticus 19, verse 3 says, "And ye shall fear every man his mother and father." Fear them. Now, that word doesn't mean that you are quaking in their presence like they're going to start beating you with something, like a stick or a pipe or something. It's the word that means to reverence them. Right? To reverence them. Like the fear of the Lord being of wisdom, right? So the reverence of the Lord. That is, you're to have a holy respect for your father and a holy respect for your mother. You should never shoot off at the lip at your parents. Leviticus 29, verse 9. "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." This was a sin so hateful, so horrible, that in the Old Testament, under the theocracy, were you to curse your father or your mother, they would stone you to death. Right? That's an attitude adjustment, I would say. God puts it quaintly in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, when he says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Okay. You say, "But my parents are not worthy of respect." Only perfect children can demand perfect parents, and no children are perfect. Our parents are imperfect. You're imperfect, but God is holy, and God says that you are to respect your parents. I will say, look, my children in and of themselves are not perfect, but this is one of the hot buttons at my house. Like, there are things that my kids do that I'm sure other kids in here are not allowed to do, or vice versa. And there are some things that sometimes you're like, okay, I'm not fighting that fight right now. And things like, there are things that I will, you know, just let go at times and whatever. Like, there are things that you do at certain times you're like, okay, well, I'm not fighting that at this moment. But I will tell you that there is one thing, and this, I know, you know, Nicole is like this as well, but there is one thing that I have never, ever, ever allowed to ever slip in my house, and that is one of my children being disrespectful, especially to their mother. With everything that that lady does for those five kids, for them to ever disrespect her is not a good life decision for them in my house, right? And that is because I know everything that she's done for them. I've seen the times where she's been on her knees praying for them. I've seen the times when she has wept for them. And they don't see that all the time, right? Your kids don't always see that. And I've seen the times when she has been tied up tight as a baseball, just wondering what is going on, and just on her knees praying for them continually. And for them to disrespect that woman will never happen. I don't care how big they get. right? If Rogan gets too big, I'll just hit him with my car if I have to. I'll do whatever I need to do. You know, I'll take him down somehow, right? I've got bats at the house. You should respect your parents. Respect them. They are your parents. Number two, honor them by expressing gratitude. You say to them, thank you for what you've done, and develop an attitude of gratitude. How wonderfully our parents have taken care of us. You know, look, no parents are perfect. My parents are unsaved, and there was a long time when I had a lot of bitterness against my father, and it was until I was saved that I stopped having that bitterness with him. But at times, then, as you become a parent, you start to realize how imperfect parents are and how many mistakes that we actually make and how much grace we actually need. Shakespeare said, how sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child? You say, but Mom and Dad, they make me do this or that, and thank God they cared enough to discipline you, and even failing parents have done so much that deserve thanks. Thank your mom and dad and tell them that you're thankful. That is something that, as I have counseled teenagers over the years and they start coming to me about their parents, that doesn't go very far in that office back in the back of the building, right? What have your parents done that is good? It's very easy many times for us to focus on the negative things in our life. And that is why I think we have such a problem with a lot of these, you know, anxiety, and people have a lot of these problems because a lot of times we focus so much on the negative, right? And we focus on it, and it just spirals and spirals and spirals and spirals until you get to the fact where you're like, this person is just awful. Are they really awful? Let's talk about some of the good things they've done. Oh, man, I didn't even remember that. Of course you didn't, right? Because your mind is not in the right place. What should you do as a kid? What are some practical things that you can do as a child of a father or a mother? Write them a note. I know that it's easy to text, it's easy to write an email, and those things in them are not in and of themselves bad, but there's still something about that actual piece of paper. And you may say, look, that sounds corny to write them a note. I will tell you, if there was a kid in here today, or even an adult, who wrote their parent a note saying thank you for the things you've done, I will guarantee you that that parent will never throw that note away ever. If one of my kids were to write me a note saying thank you for the things I've done, I would never throw that away, right? And I will guarantee you, if I sent it to my mom today, she'd probably be bawling her eyes out, right? Learn to express thanksgiving to your parents. Number three, listen to their counsel. Heed their counsel. Listen to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. It says, my son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Chains he's talking about are not chains of slavery, but chains of ornament, like a gold chain around your neck, right? And your mom and dad know far more than you think they do. You say, well, I'm smarter than they are. I've got a better education. Look, I'm just telling you, some of the dumbest people I've ever met have a really great education. That has nothing to do with intelligence. Let me tell you where your mom and dad have it over you. They've lived longer than you have. David could say once, I was young and now I am old. Children cannot say that. All they can say is, I'm young. But an older person has experiences that a younger person doesn't have. You know, I always use the example of this of, you know, there are times when we go to Kentucky to go see Nicole's grandparents, well, grandmother now, and there are times when we will go up there with Nicole's mom and dad. And a lot of times they leave before us because it takes us an exorbitant amount of time to get all these people into the van because people can't find their shoes and whatever. And I'm out there honking and no one's coming. And so they always end up leaving before us, right? And inevitably what always happens is Nicole probably calls her mom and dad, you know, more times than I would call my mom and dad, obviously. She calls them and finds out, what's it like on the roads? And they love it too, because they love telling her, like, oh yeah, so this way that we usually take, there's an accident here, so don't take this way, and you know, we stopped here, and the gas here is cheaper, and whatever. And now, is that because Mr. and Mrs. J are necessarily smarter than us? They've just been down the road further than we have. They got there first. They've already been down that road. There's something about age that the Bible says we are supposed to honor. We're not to discount that we have a young generation today who thinks that it knows better. But the Bible says, "My son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." When you were 16, you thought your dad knew nothing. At 19, you were pretty sure that he knew nothing. At 22, you thought you were light years ahead of him. Then when you got to be 30, you said, well, maybe he knew a few things. And when you get to be about 40, you're like, man, that guy was almost perfect. And the older you get, the smarter your parents seem to get, don't they? Your parents have this advantage. You honor them by heeding and listening to their counsel. Number four, by living nobly and by living a godly life. You honor them by living a godly life. You are an extension of your parents. Their blood flows in your veins. When you live honorably, you honor them. When you live shamefully, you bring shame to your parents. And we don't think about that a lot in our culture today. That's not something that we think about in our culture. But it still is true. Do you know what gives your parents great joy? You know what gives me great joy? What gives me great joy is when my parents can say to me, look, Alan, I am proud of you. I'm proud of what you have done, what you have become. You know what gives me great joy as a father? To see my children living godly lives. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. And every parent in here should be the same way. And last of all, you honor them by showing them love. By showing them love. There is nothing greater on earth, no greater love, no more godlike love than the love of father and mother for their own children. Most parents, if I asked you today, would fling their lives to the death on behalf of their children today if asked. They have loved us so much, we ought to love them so much as well. So write that letter. Tell them how much you appreciate what they've done. Pay the visit. Give the gift. Do the deed. Show that affection and do it while you can. If your parents are still alive, take advantage of that opportunity. I've preached a good number of funerals, but not infrequently have I come to stand there at the grave when the children wish that they could have made up for it, and they try to do it with an expensive casket or an inordinate amount of flowers and a beautiful gravestone, and they try to make up for that lost time. And I'm not against an expensive casket if that's what you want. I'm not against flowers or beautiful words being said. But what you're going to do, do it now. Don't wait for the casket. Don't wait for the flowers. If you're going to do it now. Would you honor your mother and your father? Show them respect, give them thanks, live an honorable life, and express your love to them. Let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around, I tell you that to honor your father and mother begins with honoring your heavenly Father. To give your heart to Him, to trust Him, to ask Him to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and to save you. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you like to be justified? Is that something that you need today? That means all of your sin debt canceled in God's sight, you're right and righteous with Him. Then you're justified by faith. That is, believe on Him, trust Him, receive Him. We call that getting saved. You say, Pastor Alan, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. I need to get right in that way tonight. That is the way that I need to get right. That is the first step. If that's you, just shoot your hand up in the air. I'd like to pray for you. And set it right back down. Okay? Well, maybe you say, I'm here tonight. You say, look, I've not been honoring my father or my mother as God has commanded me to do. Or maybe you realize, as a father or a mother, that you have not been very honorable. Either way, you are ready to get that right tonight. You say, Pastor Alan, I want to get that right tonight. Just shoot your hand up in the air and put it right back down. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for these people who are here tonight. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for our fathers and our mothers. We thank You for that godly checks and balances that You've given us, the ability that we have to not only be a child of a father and a mother, but to be fathers and mothers in this room tonight. And that we can continue to live out Your will for our life and for their lives. Lord, we thank You so much for all that You have done and will continue to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and as the pianist begins to play, if you've made a decision tonight that you have not been very honorable as a father or mother, or that you have not been honoring your father and mother the way that you should, whether it's where you stand or whether it's up here at the altar, get that right tonight.